if you want to, whatever you do. I'm not sure what you do here, whether you write it down or I know it, they show it on the overhead. And but I'm going to talk to you about the awe-inspiring blood of the Lamb. I just finished this, I guess, yesterday. And but I want to give you some thoughts about the blood of the Lamb and how powerful the blood. I remember years and years ago when we got saved and we were singing the song, The Power in the Blood. Have you ever sing that song here? Yes, The Power in the Blood. Well, that's really what it is, and it comes from the Lamb is what it is. And I want to start off here today with this scripture verse in 1 John 1, 7. Listen carefully to this, if you would. The blood of the Lamb is a cleansing blood. It's a cleansing blood. And that's what I want to emphasize here. In 1 John 1, 7, he said, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, we have to walk in the light. Can you say amen? Yes. And then he said, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's powerful, isn't it? It just really gripped my heart when I was jotting down some of these notes about today. So why did Jesus, I guess a question I should ask you, why did Jesus leave heaven and come to the world that we live in? Why did he do that? We tend to get confused, I think, what he taught and what he did and why he came. There's two things that is often here that he brings forth in the Word of God, and I want to address those two things. Jesus was and is the living Word. He was with God. He was God. He preached the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? He preached the kingdom. He healed the sick. He did all this. He performed signs and wonders that everyone could see. He showed us how to live. He did all those things. But was it enough for Jesus to come to earth to be able to live here and to teach us the scriptures? Listen carefully now, because I'm taking you someplace. For people to learn about God? And my answer to that is no. It is not enough. The reason for that is in John 5, 39 and 40. Listen carefully if you would. The Lord said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. We think we have eternal life. And these are they which testify, Jesus said, of me. The scriptures testify of him. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. That's the key to this whole message. When you think about coming, you think about reading. I've had people come to me as a pastor, and they have shared with me that they have read the Bible through a number of times. And yet, when you look at their lives, their life does not add up. It does not join with the Word of God. It does not amplify, glorify the Lamb, as we were just singing today. Jesus said you have to be willing to come to him. Him, just him alone. Coming to church won't cut it. Giving any offerings won't cut it. All those things won't cut it. Being a member of the church won't cut it. It just won't cut it. Coming to him, and that's what Jesus is saying here. But they refuse to come. The scripture says they refuse in John 5:38. He says, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he said, him you do not believe. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying there's a lot of people around you that we can take this gospel message to. Can you say amen? A lot of people that don't know. So Jesus in 3:20, the word says, behold, I stand at the door. Who stands at the door? Scripture? No. Jesus stands at the door. He stands at the door and he knocks. And he said, if anybody hears my voice, whose voice? The pastor's voice? Singers? Worship team's voice? No. No, it's his voice. Can you say amen? And then he says, I will come. I will come into him and be he with me. Can you say amen? So we're looking at the awesome blood of Jesus and what he's saying and where this blood comes from. The blood and what it does. I get awestruck with the blood of Jesus and what it does for me and what it does for you and for his people. There's one primary reason that Jesus came into the world, and that is to save sinners. Amen? We can go, we can look, we can see all the other things, but that's what it is. The Apostle Paul penned in 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, the saying is sure and true and worthy of full and universal acceptance that Jesus Christ the Messiah came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am foremost or chief. In some translations, here he is chief. Can you say amen? So Jesus came here to wash your sins away in his blood. It's awe-inspiring. It's powerful to me what his blood does. And Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now. The Lord says, let us argue this out, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, he said, I can remove it. I can make you clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you're stained as red as crimson, I can make you as white as wool. Can you say amen? I looked at this word crimson, and I thought, what, Lord, does that word really mean? It's a deep, red, permanent dye. He said, if your sins are that deeply involved in your life, he said, I can remove it. That's the power of the blood, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? It's just powerful. The Old Testament Passover, and I jotted, I know this is long, and this is a lot of scripture, but it shows you the power in the blood. And it's the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of Jesus that we're looking at here today. In Exodus 12:3, the scripture says this. You know it. You have read it over and over. I'm sure you have. But it's worth repeating. I jotted it down here because it's such good things. And it was the beginning of highlighting, of God highlighting the blood, the power that was in the blood, even in the Old Testament, what it was. He said, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or the goats. Now you can keep it till the 14th day of the month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And here is powerful. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, when he sees the blood, he said, I will pass over you. And the plague of death shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. I think of the power of that blood. The blood that they put, that the word of God says they put on the doorpost and the lintel of that house. It was a message. When you are covered with the blood of Jesus, powerful is the message that comes through you. It's powerful. It's just a powerful thing. But when they saw, when the death angel saw that blood on the lintel and the doorpost of that house, they backed off. They would not touch anyone in that house. Untouchable is what they were. Can you say amen? The power of Jesus' sinless blood is sufficient and necessary to remove your sins. So many people today tell me, well, I believe in God. I believe in God. I hear that over and over and over. Do you know what it means? Nothing. It means nothing. If you have not come to Jesus Christ alone, and he forgives you of your sin and washes your sin away with his blood, it's his blood that washes your sin away. Can you say amen? And what he's saying here, the Old Testament animal sacrifices could not remove sin. There's nothing else in this world. Pastor John, we love him and Kim, but they cannot remove sin. They cannot save you. The worship team cannot save you. It's impossible for me or anybody else to save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. There's nobody else can do that. And the Bible says about the Old Testament animal sacrifices in Hebrews 10, 4 and 5. He said it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when Jesus came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. A body. God prepared a body. But he prepared a body for you. You're living in a body. I'm going to get into that a little bit later, a little bit more. But in 1 Peter 1:18, he said, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And boy, to me, I can say amen to that. Can you say amen? And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Ransom. And I looked at this word and I thought, ransom. I hear ransom all the time. We pay ransom for this, ransom for that. Just recently, the oil line on the East Coast, and they paid an enormous ransom to get that line back up and get it running again. Ransom means loosing. It means loosing, to loose us from our sin, to loose us. If you want loosed from your sin, you're going to have the blood of Jesus is going to have to be involved. There is nothing else in the Word of God that can do that for you. And Luke 1, 34 and 35, Mary asked the angel and said, how can this be? I mean, I'm a virgin. I cannot have a baby. There's an impossibility. How can this be? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy. And note something here, if you would, in your scripture, in your Bible as you're reading it. He, not just a baby, but the angel is telling Mary, he, it's going to be a male. We don't know that. We have to go and we have to be checked to find out whether it's going to be a male or female. But the Spirit of God, he knows everything. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. He knows everything in the beginning. He knows everything in the end. Can you say amen? That's exactly what it is. And then God goes on talking about this blood thing. And you always say, boy, I don't want to hear any more about blood. But I think you will. I think you will when you find out what the Word of God has to say. the Holy Spirit wrote in the book of Hebrews to give us a contrast on this blood thing between the blood of Abel and the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen closely to what he has to say about this. Cain murdered his brother, and God confronted him about this. He said this in Genesis 4:10, if you're writing it down. And God said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. You killed your brother. What have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to God." I went back to check that word blood. I was hung up on this blood thing and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the blood in the Word of God. The Hebrew word for blood in this passage is dam, D-A-M, which is plural. It's plural. So that is very interesting. It's not singular. It's plural. When Cain murdered Abel, he killed not only his brother, but he killed all inheritance, all ancestors that would come through the loins of his brother. So today, when you hear about somebody being murdered, in God's sight, it's not the person. It's all of the children. It's all of the grandchildren that could come through that person. That's what the Lord is saying here. That's why it's plural. These words are so meaningful in the scripture. It's plural. Every person that would come out, every child, every descendant that would come out of Abel's life were killed in God's sight. So God does not look. When we get on the news today and you'll hear if somebody was murdered, oh no, oh no, not in God's sight. He was murdered, she was murdered, they were murdered, all of the descendants were murdered. So it isn't a single murder. It's a multitude of murders. That's why the Lord put this in here and put it in a plural sense. So the blood of Abel was crying out for justice. The blood was speaking to God about justice. But the blood of Jesus is also crying out to God, but with a different purpose. A different purpose. Jesus' blood is speaking a better word. A better word than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel, and you go into Scripture, you'll find this over and over again, was crying for justice. The blood of Jesus was not crying for justice. It was not crying. It's crying for mercy. Mercy on you. Mercy on me. It's crying for mercy. It was speaking. It was absolutely, absolutely speaking. The life is in the blood. The third thing that I want to share about this blood thing is the mystery. The mystery of the, I call it the life, the new life substance called the blood. God created man, created us in his own image. But it's deeper. He is so deep. I just got awestruck with him. The depth of God. How he could make man and the mind of man and all of the things that he made you and he made me. I was at a chiropractor just recently, and this lady is not a Christian, and I was standing there looking at the spinal column she had hanging in her office, and I was awestruck with it, to think that God has made a spinal column number one and put it in all you, all of you. It's amazing. I looked at that thing, and all those wires and nerves was running here, running there, running to a hand, running to the mind, running. I said, "Isn't he awesome?" She said, "Who?" I said, "The creator of what I'm looking at in your office. He is awesome. We need to realize how awesome he is." Can you say amen? We need to take a good look at him. Listen to what he's saying here in Genesis 2:7. He said, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." The Hebrew word for life in this verse is plural. And now you can see I'm researching some of these words and finding out, God, what are you saying? The breath of life. The Hebrew word for life is plural, meaning lives. It isn't singular, lives. Why is he saying the breath of lives? In Leviticus 17, he tells us why. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Can you say amen? When God created blood for Adam's body, listen carefully, I'm taking you someplace here. When he created Adam's body, he created and placed a new life substance in him called blood. The angels had no idea what that was. Blood. I'm taking you someplace. Angels are spirits. They have no physical bodies. God is spirit, the Bible says. He is spirit. He can take on anything he wants to. He reveals himself to us through Jesus. But I want to get back to the blood and the creation of this blood. Angels, spiritual beings, no physical bodies, no blood running in their veins. They didn't even have veins. God created this life substance, and he called it blood. And he put it into the veins of Adam. You have a physical body. And your life is in your blood. That's where it's at. Can you say amen? You see, the thing that happens here with Cain and Abel and Jesus in this blood thing, the Bible says that your life is in your blood. If I were to ask Dan, and Dan would just get rid of all his blood, you know what happened to Dan? He'd die on the spot. He'd die. And so would you die. God created something so fantastic and so awesome and so awe-inspiring when he created the blood and put the blood in Adam. The angels, it's no wonder they rejoiced. It's no wonder that they stood back and they rejoiced and shouted to God. Can you say amen? In Hebrews 11 and 4, it says, speaking of Abel, the writer of Hebrews said, Abel, being dead, still speaks. Still speaks. If you go to your doctor, and you've got a problem, what does your doctor do? Your doctor sends you to the hospital and tells you to have a blood test. Guaranteed. He will tell you to go have a blood test. And that test will tell you about the life of that which is running in your body. It's called blood. It's called blood. Who created it? God did. Is it something the angels understood? No. They didn't understand it. And they wouldn't understand it because they had no idea what is this blood thing. What is this substance that he put, created Adam and Eve, and put blood in them? Isn't it amazing that after all of this blood thing, and we can grasp, and you could go on and on and on, and I could, the power of what God created you. You're sitting here today, and I would say the majority of us have no concept of the power of the blood that's running in our veins and the life that's in that blood. If a life gets out of kilter, if your life, something happens to you, if something happens to me, the first thing the doctor bear does, he sends me to the hospital and he says, go have a blood test. And the blood test will tell him exactly what's going on in this body. Isn't he awesome? Isn't God something? You thought you never thought about the blood. You never thought about the blood running in your body. You never thought about it. It's been there. But who put it there? God created it. God created that blood and put that blood in you. The life, your life, is in your blood. Your life is messed up. Your blood is messed up. Can you say amen? The last thing that I want to share with you today before I get run out of the church and because of time. The Old Testament animal sacrifice brings out such a powerful truth to us, along with these other truths. And I trust that God has ministered and delivered the truths of what he has done. The song that we sing, there is power in the blood. If you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ, and you don't have him in your heart, then you still have your sin. The only way you can get rid of your sin is the blood of Jesus Christ takes it out. His life has got to come in and make contact with your sin. And as far as the east is from the west, your sins will be removed. Animal blood won't take it out. Come to the church won't take it out. The pastor can't take it out. Worship can't take it out. Nothing, no one is able to take away your sin except him. He's the only one. There's no other that can do this. And talking about taking away, I want to end with this because I think it's just rich. In Hebrews 9 and 22, he says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. I wondered what the world does that word remission mean? What does it mean? Remission means sending away. There's no remission. There's no sending away. Our sins can be forgiven in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, and your sins removed from you. God said, I don't care if it's crimson. I don't care how long you've sinned. I've talked to people. Gene knows. I was down in New Jersey one time and going door to door down there talking to people about the Lord. And this lady, she said, there is no way that God would ever forgive me for what I've done. I said, yes, he will. Did she pay any attention? No, she didn't. She paid no attention. We left the home, and she was still a sinner. But we told her about the blood of Jesus. You got to get in contact with him. If you want to get your sins removed, not covered like the animal sacrifices, their blood covers the sin. But the sin's still there. I said, if you want to get rid of the sin, if you want the sin taken away out of your body, out of your soul, then you're going to have to get a hold of Jesus Christ, because it's his forgiveness, it's his blood that's going to take your sins away. We got home, and we wasn't home but maybe an hour at the most. I don't even know the exact time. The lady called. That's right. Thank God. She called. She said, you know, I was thinking about what you were talking about when you were here, and I'd like to have you come back. And we went back, and that blessed lady gave her heart to Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus Christ forgave her. Amen. Yes, you need to praise him. Amen. And so she was forgiven, and her sins were carried away. There is no remission without Jesus Christ in the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And the last scripture I have written down here is what I just quoted to you in Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So it doesn't matter what you did, what you said, how many times you did it, how many times. It does not matter. He can take it out. He will take it out. He'll carry it away. Can you say amen? Isn't he awesome? Just give him praise. Won't you just give him praise? Amen. I'm telling you, to me, is all. Stand with me, please, if you would. Father, we praise you and thank you for who you are today. We're awestruck with you. Not with church and not with singing and not with money and giving and all the things, Father, that we can do. But it's us doing it. It has to be you doing it. Jesus, you and you alone can save. You come into this world. It's not about all these other things. It's about you coming in to save us. If you didn't save us, we won't be saved. You and you alone can save us. Wash us. Though our sins be as crimson, it doesn't matter how deeply seated they are within us. You said, I will remove it. You and you alone. Touch your people, Father, this blessed people that's here today. Touch them. If there's one here that doesn't know you and they're depending on works or depending on a 100,000 other things, it could be that they're depending. Help them, Father, to make the move today. And move to you and look you, Jesus Christ, in your face and say, Jesus Christ, I have come to you and you alone for salvation. I need you to save me. I need you to remove my sin and take it from the east to the west away from me and write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We give you praise. We give you thanksgiving. For Father, it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Have a great day.